It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Nights. Hello and welcome back to Baywatch Watch Nights. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. We've got a great returning guest with us today. Max Lasser is back on the podcast. Hello, Max.
I think my first time being a returning guest to anything.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a reason you think?
I think my performance on every other podcast was not deemed up to par, but hey, glad to be slumming it with you guys.
Zach texted me last week. He was like, Max needs a win. Can we please just stem back?
Yeah, for sure. No. I'm trying to get to the five timers club on this one. So,
Yeah. There's still a lot of watch left.
Yeah. Still a lot of time.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
And thank you so much for having me back.
You were specifically sought for this particular episode.
Yeah, I think that I get that.
Yeah, because the assumption with this was that this was going to be a Dungeons & Dragons type episode. It is mentioned, and there are a couple things in there. Yeah, we've got a couple. We've got the archer, who is the king of the assassins.
Most dangerous assassins.
Yes. It seems like there was a guy, like a jock type guy, like wearing a Speedo, and someone described him Dungeons and Dragons for 15 seconds, and then he went off by himself and wrote this episode.
Yeah.
Kind of like based on what he filled in on what they were saying.
Yes.
And like Ryan was like, she was our way in, right? Like Ryan knew all the stuff.
Very knowledgeable.
Also, this episode also like really kind of like threw me for a loop a couple of times, and a lot of it was based on acting. I thought the archer was going to be like a Jumanji type character who had been trapped in there for a long time and ends up being good because they spent so long avoiding the reveal of like whether or not she was friend or foe, that when they did reveal it and it's like, no, she is just like, she's like a honeypot, or she's like, you win me. Computer generated honeypot. And then I was 100% convinced that Debbie, the daughter, later in the episode was going to be a villain of some sort.
I would love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, because
honeypot
of
number two.
How over the top her reaction to everything was.
Yes.
I was like, this is too much. Like she's faking it. And then it turns out that it's like, no, that's she just is like, I mean, at first I was gonna be like, man, she's really good at playing panicked. But then after a while, I was like, shut up, because then she kept being like, she's she's like, he's we're gonna be dead just like my dad. Oh man, this is just like how my dad died.
Just so any listener doesn't think less of Charlie in terms of his shut up there, truly it was to such an annoying level. Like,
yes,
if you're in this situation, it's just like, please stop talking, we're trying to stay alive,
baby. Yes,
I couldn't tell
one of the most
obnoxious
characters
had easily the best performance of anyone in the entire episode, or if she was like, she's on a different show. Debbie is on a different show than every other character. I don't know if her show is better or worse.
When Debbie was dangling over the cauldron, I would have said yes. Like at first I was like, wow, she is really selling that she is panicked.
It's really life or death
for
her.
It really is. Like it was like almost hard to watch at first, but then it kept going and then she never came down off that level. And it was like, then I was so over her.
By the way, quick note on that moment, because I mean, obviously the video quality is really poor, the episodes we're watching. When she first said, like, I forget her first words, but she's like, it's getting closer or something like that, the vat of acid or whatever it is. for a second there, I thought the vat was moving towards her. And then I realized, no, wait, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But then I was like, that's a fun spin on that,
right?
Yeah.
Raising the vat.
It would be
up.
Fun yeah, if it was fun. Like, you don't move, but the vat raises. Yeah.
It's coming up towards you.
It's the someone two walls closing in on each
I like that it's,
but it's
yeah.
two vats of acid.
I like that it. You think it's a fun spin where, like, meaningfully, yeah. there's no difference.
There's not really a difference, but sure, why not?
But yeah, that, and then I loved the, like, they were really proud of the Alt F4.
Oh,
you
yeah,
got
yes, that's like
Alt
that goes back
F4.
To that, like, guy who had something described yeah. to him briefly mm-hmm. and then, like, went and wrote the whole episode. Is like, he was like, oh, let's use that Alt F4 thing. Like,
yeah,
what would happen if I pressed Alt F4 now? Would I exit?
I think it might quit. Yeah,
it might quit.
I think it's
yeah.
still, it still is used for quit. Yeah,
yeah,
wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a meme in like in Fortnite. You'll be like, "Hey, press Alt F4 to dance or whatever," and then
yeah.
you troll the 11-year-old you're playing against.
Yeah,
Max,
you say
you play Fortnite or no?
GG really. Uninstall.
No, I've never played.
Do you ever? Did you ever say GG uninstall to anyone, Max?
No, but I mean, I said things. I've said similar things. I've said, yeah. You know what I started doing recently was saying GG easiest game of my last five. Because it's believable.
So, yeah, basically, Zach, just
oh,
fill
game.
You in.
Great game.
It's
great
good game. Good game. Yeah, great game.
Yeah.
But basically, it's sarcastic
of
because
course, yeah,
you
yeah,
have
yeah.
you have beaten the person
you
so badly.
EB4.
And so when you say GG uninstall, it's like, good game. Now uninstall it and never play it again because you were so
I
bad.
See.
Yeah.
So bad. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get them.
okay. What is your go-to game real quick now, currently? Online.
I've been playing some Valorant with the boys. That's kind of probably what I've been playing recently.
You like these MOBAs?
That's not a MOBA. That's a first-person shooter. You guys are like 55. But
what's the difference between a massively online battle arena?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's not a you. It can't be first person.
Isn't
like Overwatch a MOBA?
No. No, I don't think so.
What's a MOBA?
It's like, I think like, isn't, I think like no. League of Legends is a MOBA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Legends yeah. is a MOBA.
Yeah, it's an multiplayer online battle arena.
That's what I said. Or I said, did I, yeah, that's what I said, right?
Something else. Well, whatever.
I said online battle arena, right?
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a MOBA.
I mean, if you're battling in an arena,
I mean,
it doesn't matter
yeah,
where
so
it
League
is.
Of Legends and like Dota are like the traditional ones, but you know, whatever.
Okay. I'm not 55. Yeah. I just don't play multiplayer games. I'm a big
I've never been an online game player myself. I do play video
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I don't like
I
online.
I just never
okay.
Online.
Okay. Do you guys ever go to mysterious warehouses and
haven't done that yet.
Find yourselves transported?
I have a quick question for you guys. Is social media a MOBA?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Is Twitter a massive multiplayer
right.
online battle arena?
It kind of is, right? In some ways it really is.
In some ways, it definitely is, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what yeah. I've started playing a lot lately, Max? I've started playing a lot of ARPGs.
Okay, cool.
What does the A stand for?
Action, but okay. generally it refers to top-down or isometric games like a Diablo, where you pick a class, and then it's just like, you basically do this gameplay loop where it's just you slay as many monsters as possible, you get a bunch of loot, you equip the new loot, you upgrade your skills, and then you go back.
Yeah.
But then you just keep, and every time you beat one, you get something you need for the future.
yes.
That's cool.
So yeah. Anyway, that was Games Corner.
But Max, yes, and Max, you have played. Not that it matters that much for this episode, but you have
right.
played actual Dungeons and Dragons as well.
Definitely, for sure.
Yes,
yeah.
Love to have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so like not knowledgeable about RPGs. It's just never been my thing. So
no, it's
I will look
so,
to you both
so
for your guidance.
Thank yeah.
You. I mean, Charlie, if you've been playing a lot of ARPGs, you must have been really sad in that one moment where that guy's like, you're awarded a skill point, and she's like, I don't need that. Like, that's the whole reason
yes.
you're doing it is to collect skill points and put them in stuff.
It's a fundamental misunderstanding of skill points, too, because what she says is that the skill point is going to make the game harder.
Right.
Yes. And yes.
No. The
no.
skill point is to make I your see. Character stronger so that yes. you can take on the challenge of the game. Now, the game may get harder as you go. That's just progression.
Maybe that's
but,
how smart she is. She knows yeah. the game's going to get harder.
Yeah, yeah. She's ahead of the game.
She doesn't want the skill point.
I wonder what the skill point would have been. Do you think they would have had, like, massive arms?
Yeah, they should have given it. Yeah, I would have loved it if they would, like, or it's just, like, 0.25% critical chance. Like, sometimes the skills are not great when you get it because it's just like you're just adding numbers to a to an Excel.
Yeah, I would have loved
basically.
To see Baywatch Knights' take on like a talent tree.
Yeah,
like, you know, like what is like, yeah, big shoulders and you can fly and
But they do, we get the orb. I did appreciate that, but we'll get to that.
Love
later.
The orb.
Love the orb.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get this in this episode because we did in the last where Mitch was like, he kept being like, I would have been a Viking if I was alive back then.
Funny.
And this he got really, he was like into this game once he heard that it happened during the Crusades. He's like, oh yeah, I would have fought with the Christians. He's like, oh yeah, the Crusades. Okay, I'm in now.
Okay, sorry. I this is maybe. Well, it's not totally off topic, but would I feel bad to say this? Would Mitch be a Proud Boy if he was around today?
Ooh.
So ooh,
not because
if he was
of
around
like,
today.
What his like own, but you know, so, one of those people that like thinks
the
like,
inertia
a lawyer,
would take him there.
Maybe not a Proud Boy, but he would be one of those guys who's like. This woke has gone too far.
Woke's gone too far, but would he be part of some militia? Maybe not like the one that would.
No, because I think that Mitch, like,
I think he thinks he's a good guy.
He does. You're right. Yeah. That's, I guess, the reason why he would not.
And the guys who are like obsessed with that stuff, they like bring it up all the time. I can't see him like, if a guy brought it up to him, I could see him being like, man, I don't have any student debt. Why should I pay for someone else's college? But like, he's got to be too busy like wakeboarding to like bring
it
up.
You're right.
You know,
his life.
You know what he would be like? He'd be one of those who thinks he's like super on the right side, but he'd be like black, white, purple, whatever. Like, you know,
I don't care if you're green.
You know what I think we should do about health insurance?
Yeah,
eat our vegetables. How about that?
Yeah, how about we lose some weight? Okay,
how about we lose a little weight?
All right, let's talk season two, episode 14, Knights to Dragon One. I mean, the Knights part, I guess, is Baywatch Knights.
But no
Dragon
dragons.
One.
No dragons.
Yeah. No
we had
dragons.
A dragon symbol on the tile. Ryan pointed that out. She was like Zodiac, Dragon, and Knight, I think. But
yeah.
That's
and
it.
She,
that's
and she, reference. that was her being like, yep, these are all, that's all of them. It's all the symbols. They really did not want to waste any time in this episode. On the way.
Yes.
The way.
Yeah, like you'd think like the standard, like this era TV show structure would be like Mitch and Ryan are like, you know, playing darts and like
generally,
laughing about something.
It is.
And then someone runs into their office like, my dad went to a warehouse to play a game and he hasn't come back. But no. We are on the way to start the episode.
Yeah.
This episode just moves constantly. I got to give
it
credit for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no like lulls or anything.
My notes were just like blocks of text because like it doesn't really have scenes. It just has events that
this
are all kind of happening
forward.
In the same time. But like basically her sister and her father are missing. Because dad loves games.
I love dad. I wish we got to know more about dad.
Yeah.
We do see him later, but we don't get to hear from him.
He lives to play the biggest and most dangerous games.
This is a man that you can imagine wants to be hunted
on
an island somewhere by other humans.
Yes.
He wants to be that person.
He would do battle royale for sure. He'd Hunger Games, he'd volunteer his tribute.
He'd love it. Yeah.
100%. And he went in first and someone was chasing him, so then the sister went in to get him.
Yeah.
But then the whole idea is like you have to be invited to play this game, but like we don't really learn anything about the dad because once we get the rich man who came from Tokyo, well, we don't know if he's rich, but we assume who came from Tokyo and goes to play, and because he had a bunch of hundreds in his wallet.
He's probably rich. I think it is a game for the elite.
I'm like, this guy's wallet's full of hundreds.
Which I guess like goes into the imagination of the computer,
right?
Seamlessly, like
everything you're wearing, rather than you getting like armor and like it's just your clothes.
Yeah. It's your clothes, yeah.
By the way, do you think the dad would have loved like the Tide Pod challenge or the cinnamon challenge, that kind of stuff?
Like just any like roll the die and see if you die type stuff. Yeah.
Games are a little risky. Do you want to plank like on a cliff somewhere or something like that?
Yeah.
That'd be very funny to be an adrenaline junkie, but your whole thing is you just like keep like eating like moldy bread or something and being like,
it could kill me. Make me uncomfortable, that's for sure.
It could. Yeah. You never know.
You never know.
So then he made her promise that if anything happened, you got to get Teague. So not only does he want to play this game, but he also knows Teague.
Mm-hmm. Teague is a main character, by the way, Max. But
yeah, Teague is a main character. You don't see him in this episode, but he's like their way into conspiracies. So he like works for some shadowy government organization. He constantly calls Mitch and Ryan, who apparently are the most qualified for all of these jobs. But does that mean that the other people who are part of this game also know Teague? Or is that just a coincidence?
That's why they're dead, dude. Because they don't have backup like Teague.
Yeah, so that's another thing. Okay, so that guy, the guy who died, who had the hundreds in his wallet, he died. Where was the dad? Because he just gets spit out at the end.
We have no idea. It's like they didn't want to bother to try to.
Yeah, they were just like, because even after that, rather than explain it, they're just like, let's go home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the daughter.
Really over by the time we meet the dad. So,
yeah.
Debbie, when she hugs her dad, it is the most like amorous embrace.
It is.
Like,
I laughed hard, so hard.
Clings to him like, my man is back.
There are highs and lows with Debbie for sure. I at times found her character so annoying, but at other times she made me laugh so hard. She's when she sees dad, she goes, "Dad,
daddy,"
and then jumps into his arms and goes, "Daddy."
Yeah. And what jumps into his arms and like wraps
like
her legs like, around him.
Like, I apologize, but they kind of jump into the arms to like fuck me in the
I thought I'd never get to feel your touch again.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is wild.
Yeah.
but yeah, when you get no lines of dialogue from dad. They just probably didn't want to pay.
There's also a very funny moment, and I don't know if you noticed, but once Debbie is rescued from the thing, while she is telling them what happened, she is unbuttoning and removing her blouse.
That bothered me so much. I had to go back. I'm like,
her like coverall. Yeah, I was
and
like,
I realized
leave your clothes on.
They wanted, I guess, for whatever reason, she wanted to take the top shirt off because she's too hot or something like that. But I was like, don't even show us that. This is
they force her to wear that top shirt when they tie it.
Yeah, what are
and
we?
She's fumbling with the buttons.
So the whole time she's going like, yeah, it was really scary. And she's just slowly unbuttoning. And I'm like, what is happening?
I was so confused.
Okay, there's only one way in or one way out. And this game moves from city to city by special invitation from to only the most powerful and influential people.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Her dad likes these games, but we do not learn why he is either powerful or influential.
But she also says, my father's always been a big time game player. And I was just wondering and assuming that this episode predates the word gamer.
I don't know. I don't know when that
in like the popular lexicon. Because she doesn't call him a gamer. She calls him a game player.
Game player. Yeah. I mean, This was like at a time where like games themselves were kind of used derisively, like Mitch's are like every man who's like these friggin' games.
Does Ryan have any like in previous episodes? Like, is she like a nerd? Like, or does this like come out of nowhere?
A little bit, I think, but not in the specific.
She's a
aspect.
Scientist, it's brand new that she's like this is. What we played.
This is what she basically
every day, and a man had a hand buzzer.
Yeah,
like a whole world joke shop guy.
This was
like,
her me.
like the Joker in Batman.
It didn't feel like out of left field. I was like, okay, I can buy
that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But then he's like, but she's so down bad for Mitch that he's able to be like, Ryan, hey, snap to it. We're not talking games here. How do we beat this? I hate these games. I don't want to play.
It must have been so nice to grow up when what was like the monoculture was so clear. Like watching this episode and like no one has any like if you did this now, like everyone watching would like
would roast
know what an escape room is, and they know what Dungeons and Dragons is, they know what games are, and they know what virtual, you know what I mean? It's like all this is like
you
like
to get it accurate.
Most people who are watching this just hadn't engaged with any of that and didn't care about it, and that was great.
Sure.
This sounds because it's like even this is like everything just has to come from Ryan. And it's like, okay, that guy is real and he's dead, but that one is fake and he's a computer. And that was just like constantly like, that's real. That's not real. This is.
And my favorite line of the episode, if I'm correct, we're in the imagination of the computer.
Imagination of the computer.
I was like, what? Okay. That's like advanced AI.
Hell yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh, no, this was like, this was the most. So, like, I don't know if anybody's watched Three Body Problem, but.
Yes.
Yes. I was like, this is a real precursor to the Three Body Problem. We really just needed a headset to, like, get everyone in. That would have been one thing if they had to walk in and then put the headset on. And then once they were in the computer, they were like, but to avoid that part, there is no explanation for how going down that elevator suddenly puts you in the computer.
The game master claps his hands and then
They like select expert difficulty or whatever. They walk into a warehouse, that's right, like step on the expert tile, and then boom, we're in.
Oh, that's right. They think the dad went that way, though. That's why they
And generally, like in games, if you select a difficulty, you are playing the same game. They are just modifying maybe damage you receive. Maybe there's more enemies and stuff like that. It's not a completely separate path. So they were like, the only way we're going to get to him is by going down the expert path. But that's not true. Like, you would just have an easier time going down that path. But either way, like, I mean, nothing about this seemed very hard, right?
No, not really. There's a few moments, like the door. Like, I don't understand how they would be able to guess correctly on the door. So if you really did face like three doors, you really have to try to figure out like which one's not going to.
There's a puzzle element to it. But if they had picked easy mode, would there only be the one door?
Maybe one door.
And they're like, how do we open doors?
It'd be
again?
A little bit stuck. It would say pull. You have to pull it.
You gotta pull a little harder.
But you know, overall, not that hard.
Oh, and this is what I like. If you play the game and you lose, you're lost forever. If you play to win, your life will never be the same. And he took that to mean fulfilled. And I'm like, I would never take that. That's like some freaking monkey paw type shit where like you make a wish, but it's the wording is like, no, your life will never be the same. It's like, how would that ever, if anyone's like, your life is never going to be the same. I'm like, well, you mean I'll be fulfilled?
Wow, I finally feel connected to my fellow man and at peace with my lot in the universe.
God. So then they go, hey, stay here, we're going in the game. So and she's like, okay, so the entire time they are in this game, is she just like sitting in the car like reading a book or like
I hope she bought a book.
She has otherwise nothing to do, right?
No cell
so
phone.
Bored.
At least not a cell phone that she could look on the internet or anything.
Yeah. So they go down an elevator and they end up in an entryway that is very ornate. Mitch,
can I say one other thing pre-elevator is like the giant dice that Mitch is just holding in this scene before they actually get
right here. Yes, I love the giant.
Oh, we haven't gotten that yet. Yeah.
Oh, they haven't.
They go down the elevator.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember what elevator you're talking about now. You guys go. Okay, you guys go. Yeah.
So they come out and then Ryan is like, whoa, this is really ornate. And Mitch, again, because he's an idiot, but also because this is the monoculture, thinks that because it's a game, he assumes it will be a basketball court or a football field.
Freaking idiot. He's like, where's the teams?
And yeah. The he's like, on. That's this is like no game, no man's game.
If I talked to Mitch about football, I would be even too nerdy about football to engage with Mitch.
You throw stats at him.
And yeah, he'd be like, what are you talking about?
And he'd be like, you see those cheerleaders?
Like, he'd be like, yeah, he'd say that. He'd be like, Max, football is just a bunch of big, strong guys getting the ball to the end zone.
Like, when that Archer tries to seduce him to kill him, Mitch goes for it.
He goes for it.
He's 100% game.
He's like, yeah, hey.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
If there's a chance, he'll go for it. Anytime.
Yes, absolutely.
And Ryan's just like.
And, yeah.
I know. And she goes, Jesus. For Christ's sakes.
Max, him and Ryan kind of have a thing going. It's kind of a will they, won't they, but it's leaning towards they will.
Okay. So
he knows this.
Yeah.
And still he's like, yeah. All right, the Archer wants to make out with me. Let's do
it.
Is she more into him than he is into her? That was
that is how it is. Yes, except say, there was one episode where she basically tells him she loves him, and then he does the I know from Star Wars. Oh, and then, and then, yeah, because they are sucked into a post-apocalyptic future.
And then once of course.
Once they get back, Mitch is like, you said you love me. We should have sex. And she's like, no. And he's like, but you said you love me. We should have sex. And the outro of the episode is him begging her for sex.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So, yeah.
Ryan.
Okay.
And it's played for comedy, but he's a dog.
He's a dog.
Yeah. And it's very funny because he had, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, you finish your thought.
I was just going to say that he had a lot more creative control on this particular show, which is funny because in regular Baywatch, he is a wholesome family man who does have, but he's always trying to find a mom for his son. Yes. In this, he is just like, I will bone down whenever, wherever.
Down to F, anytime.
Yeah.
I was going to say, just because you brought up this episode, the Mobius. We realized recently we watched that out of order. I checked, by the way, Amanda Gould, it's her fault because she put it as episode 11, but it's actually like episode 15 or something. So apologies to anyone. We watched out of order.
Well, it's Amanda's fault. We love Amanda but we bet Amanda, you really shit the bed on this one. Yeah.
Amanda Gould is the person that uploaded
Amanda is the person who uploaded all these episodes 12 years ago.
It's the only way we were able to watch this.
She's our she's our savior. She's doing, we don't know her. Archival. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, she's doing
She is her historian. And did she make an error? And has it made the quality of our show suffer? Perfect, it has, but yeah.
So obviously, like, because they're on YouTube, like, it's like a somewhat low quality, like, video footage or whatever. But, like, is there any, like, I also, like, just when it was released, like, it does, like, super high quality footage of this like even exists?
It must. I think
Okay. They shot both shows on film. Okay. So they're shot great, on 35 millimeter, which is why the remaster of regular Baywatch looks so good, is because they had an unlimited,
it looked
you know,
than most shows back then.
Resolution. Okay, cool. So the because at this time almost every show was being shot on videotape, they made the commitment to shoot on 35 millimeter. So yes, I do believe that it could be, but I think there just hasn't been as much interest in remastering.
We've let the creators know.
Hey, yeah, please. We told them, so remaster Baywatch Nights. I don't know.
But for now, we got to watch it here.
Yeah. So then this is where Ryan points out the symbols on the floor, which is how Ryan knows we're already in the game. If there's symbols on the floor, we're in the game. A zodiac, a dragon, and a knight. And she's like, these are all from the games. We used to stay up all night playing. And she said, D&D and Myst. So D&D is a paper and pencil type role-playing game. Obviously, it's been digitized in other ways. Myst is exclusively on the computer, is a CD-ROM game that is played by one person. There's no, like, it's not a multiplayer, and it would, none of this would not relate at all.
Myst was only like 3 or 4 years old.
Interesting,
right? So
I wonder if it was like the hot CD-ROM game at the time.
Maybe,
that's why
they're
like, let's put that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it was like written or filmed or whatever, because Baywatch Nights was 95 to 97, and then Myst was 93.
This is like 97.
This is 96 or 97. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know when exactly it aired, but yeah.
So it's been a couple years.
this I would say the game that they play in here is more like Dungeons and Dragons, right, than what you guys said Myst is like, for sure, besides the CD-ROM aspect of it.
Yeah, the game that they play in here almost feels like a mix between Dungeons and Dragons and like the Curse of Monkey Island or whatever, those like point and click games, because those are ones in which like you're looking for something in the environment. When you click it, it does a very specific task. And so like, you know, and then you're basically either collecting a couple things and then putting them in the right place in order to trigger more story beats. And, yeah, Dungeons and Dragons, if they really wanted to do it, every time they encountered an enemy, they would want to roll to decide whether or not. Yeah.
Which I would be cool with that. Have that big die every moment.
But once when they roll, it's like Monopoly. They move that number of spots they never use the dice again, because there's one part where Mitch goes, "We don't want to play your game," and he throws the dice. And I thought that was going to count as a roll and that would be important, but instead it just doesn't.
They're like, "Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you don't need to use it."
Because the dice never comes back.
I know. Yeah. Just that we see it two times.
Yeah,
the world's pointiest dice, and it never comes back.
Yeah,
I think it was Ryan that gave the explanation of where these games came from. Is there? There's no truth to this, right? I didn't look it up.
Yeah, so, I didn't look it up either. But in the Crusades, that they would make up these games.
She says that it dates back to the knights returning from the Second Crusades in the 1100s. When they returned from the Crusades, they were bored out of their minds, so they're like, "Let's make up a game. And we'll make one of us a game master." And that's where Dungeons and Dragons came from. I was like, I don't think so. I think Dungeons and Dragons is like from the 70s, right? Is that my correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Is there any game that it's based on that's hundreds of years old that you guys know of?
I think war games have always existed.
Okay.
But war games, yeah. But a war game would literally be you take all your ships and then you basically have everyone practice war. They're just not, and it's like to help like generals get better at their strategic command and stuff. So you wouldn't be doing it on paper.
That was like what Go was. We're like,
okay, Go. Oh yeah, Go. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt that's based on anything. I mean, obviously, like, you know, people were playing games, like, you know, chess is like 6th century and stuff.
True.
But
true.
Yeah. But because like something like this would require so much like discipline, and also like, you know, like there'd have to be like one knight who's like, "All right, you guys, like, so now so you guys are bored, right? Well, what if I told you there's a goblin?"
Yeah. They've each killed 18 Muslims with their bare hands.
Yes.
And they're coming back and they're "Okay, you come into a woodland grove."
Yeah.
It is so fucked up. Yeah. They came back from killing a lot of people in a war and they're just
bored. Fair sir, a natural 20.
they're like role playing like what it was like in like the 2nd century BC or something.
Yeah. Like, what if I told you now in Greece?
In this world we have no aqueducts.
Yeah. Wow. What if I told you Christ has not even been born yet? okay, so yeah, they said a romance, war, and amusement meet high tech.
Because they're Mitch's using response computers. Is like, cool.
Cool.
Which you can
tell
he's like, nope.
Yeah.
He's not into it at all.
Mitch is so unfazed by this whole thing. Like, he's just like, it's like he kind of expects all this to happen.
Do you think he has found out about online porn yet? Because I think that would be the first time he'd be like, okay, computers? Not bad.
Like computers are pretty cool.
All right.
Also, I got to quit one of my two jobs. I'm not sure which one yet, but I got to take maybe no more detective stuff.
Yeah.
I'll keep the lifeguard job.
Need more jerking off time.
Mitch would Google the world's most wholesome possible porn.
I could see that. Yes.
Like, this Mitch would not. This Mitch would Google depraved stuff. The other one would be like man and woman in love.
This one is this guy's a dog.
This one would be depraved.
Now I have to know what happens if you go to Pornhub and you type man and woman in love.
Man and woman in love.
I bet you get a video like, you know,
real love, passionate sex. Yeah, of course.
There's
gotta be.
That's what it is.
This is the least searched thing on here, basically, right?
Just like a trembling, like homeschooled Christian who's like brings themselves to like finally Google porn. And, but the only thing they feel comfortable Googling is like
two
married
in
couple in love or something.
Yeah, it's they have to know that the sex is sanctioned by God.
Yes,
they are
yes.
married at the beginning. Like, instead of being like, it's your stepbrother,
yeah.
stepbrother, they have to be like, we're husband and wife.
And they have to show like the marriage certificates at the top
yeah.
of the porn.
Yeah. These two performers are actually married.
They are married.
Yeah.
They profess that they truly love each other.
So then, yeah, we get the how say the introduction of the game master's voice. How say you? How say you? How say you? Show yourself. Just keep saying show yourself. And this is when Ryan says the voice is computer generated. They roll the dice and they get a 9. And
is there
then
any significance to that, or they just had to pick a number? Is there like anything from that game that's like, oh, the 9 is this? Or Max, do you know?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they wanted to get, so you, the first four, what I don't understand, okay, so this beginning thing, because once they get to 4, that's when they choose their difficulty, and then once they get to 9, that's when they choose, practice or the real thing, and then difficulty. Yeah. But
so
that's only once they get to 9. Yes. So if they'd rolled a 2, would they not even make it there?
Yeah, they wouldn't even get to practice or game. They'd be like, ah, shit.
They would have had to play chutes and ladders on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I guess we'll wait. So once they get to 9 and they pick, everything gets real spooky. The screen like duplicates, like mirrors itself, and we get
nightmarish.
Yeah,
I must say, this little
crossbow nightmare. Glowing eyes, we get some screaming, and then they end up in a red lit room, and then this is where Ryan says we're in the imagination of the computer.
We're in the imagination of the computer.
So good.
And Mitch does say, don't we need a headset? And she's like, we don't, because this is state of the art. Yeah,
all these fools nowadays, they're not using state of the art stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Apple Vision Pro,
not state of the art.
Apple Vision amateur.
Fools. Yeah. Get inside the computer, everyone. Do the real thing.
Get in the computer.
I will say, I overall very much enjoyed this episode. I was kind of hoping that we'd get like some kind of computer animation of Mitch.
Yes. Oh my God.
But I also realized that's kind of outside the budget.
Like the Dire Straits music video.
Taking that, the very rudimentary computer animation.
Yes.
Yes.
That would be great.
If I could give one note to the showrunners, I just would have had it like, as soon as they pop into the game world, Mitch is dressed like a barbarian.
Yes.
Like he's wearing like a, you know what I mean? Like, like a fur loin.
Yeah,
cloth.
They should have been like, they should have had to pick classes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
at least just like look different when they popped in.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right with Mitch. What would Ryan be? What would her like?
Well, she's a nerd, right? And so I think she would be like a spellcaster, right?
Yeah,
she'd be wearing like a
robe. I definitely think she'd be a mage.
Okay.
Or an alchemist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, Mitch would definitely be just like a straight up barbarian.
You'd be like, okay, I like games now. You'd be like,
yeah, he'd be like, okay, yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
But also, so the traps in here. So one of them is like a Mission Impossible style crisscrossing lasers.
Yes. Which, by the way, I don't know about you guys, but I was like, those seem kind of wide apart. I'm like, I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, all you had to do. And then in order to urge them forward, they did the thing with the faces coming out of the wall.
I love it. By the way, I'm always a fan of that. Yeah. I think it's such a cool visual.
It's very cool visual.
It was cool.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, moaning going to. Very creepy.
But then she uses the glasses to try, and then that's how they find out that it's electric.
Also, I think this is her first mention of the CD-ROM. She's like, I know about this because of a CD-ROM I played in college. And the CD-ROM gets like, or the CD-ROMs get mentioned several times also by my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny. I was like, does anyone use CD-ROMs for anything anymore? It's very much a 90s thing.
No, like your computers don't even have a drive. Yeah.
Yeah. This would have been peak CD-ROM.
Time. Yeah. This is like, absolutely. Yeah. And like, it was like one of those weird things where like playing a game like Myst, I think Myst was like 4 CD-ROMs because it was so big
or whatever.
And you'd be like, this is, I 4 of these. That must be so big. And it's like, actually the CD-ROM just like couldn't hold
that much.
Yeah.
How much is it?
700 megabytes.
I was just okay. I was about to say 800, actually. So I was up.
Yeah,
close.
700,
yeah, which
and
is
so,
not much.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah. So 4.41 at max could be like 3.8 gigs, which sounds yeah. big, but like a game like Red Dead Redemption 2 is like
it's
100
like 200
gigs.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So okay, so then they have to slowly move through the lasers. Then this is when Ryan says they should have picked novice. But again, I wonder if they would just be slower, or if
I don't know,
there would just
be
one
there'd
laser.
There'd be one laser.
That would be funny.
So then they get something that they're going to need for a future challenge: a light, 3 coins, and a key. The coins and the key are old, but the light is new.
I don't know what made me think of this, but I wrote, this is where I wrote down, is there a room somewhere where there's just a bunch of rich people that are watching this and jerking off?
Yeah.
Like this game. This is like, do you kind of know from,
it does. Yes. It absolutely feels like that. Yeah.
What's that show? Sorry, I just blanked on Netflix.
Squid Game. That's
Squid
like, that's the reveal in Squid Game.
Like that
yeah.
room. Yeah. Yeah. It's this kind of, type of thing. I
yeah.
feel like, cause it seems like for whose benefit is this? Is it just for the player just to potentially die playing a game?
Well, yeah,
it seems
because
like it's
they
just
don't
this one guy.
They don't
the
even
master.
Say that yeah. there's a prize. They don't even say that there's like, you know, because like that's got to be the lure. It can't just be that it's dangerous.
Well, right. as we know, the prize is fulfillment in life.
That's right. True. I'm sorry. I totally forgot. It's fulfillment.
You beat the game and you're like, I'm gonna call my mom.
Yeah. Hey, are you okay, son? I'm more than okay. I'm fulfilled. so then this is kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, though, when Ryan says that in the games that she played, you never really won. Success was just measured by how long you survived.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Roadhouse, Dalton says, nobody ever actually wins a fight.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So there's a relation here.
There it is. Things. This is in the Roadhouse universe.
Yeah.
So then it turns out that this whole game was a trap to lure them in, but only the master who created the game knows why. And it's funny that we don't learn who the master is.
We don't. And why does this game keep getting going on and on?
Right.
Where's this
right.
like word that people are finding out? Oh, it's just a trap? It's
yeah.
not even an actual game for people to play.
I know. It's not, yeah.
What is this?
Because, like, yeah, it doesn't even seem like a game. It seems like almost like a fun house at a carnival where it's
yeah.
like you're shunted through yeah. and things happen.
Yeah.
And, like, Mitch is almost like breaking the game by like decapitating.
Yeah.
There's so many moments I love. That was a good one right there.
Yeah, the game is like most similar to like if a Bond villain had an escape room.
Yeah. Or like the Running Man almost.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
But he would be watching it, of course, too, because
yes.
enjoyment out of
it. It's kind of
there would
Saw
be a television.
Trap-like.
Yeah, why is it? Yes, it's very Saw-like as well.
Very Saw, yeah.
Because especially at the part where he's like, there's always a chance to get out, you know, like and Saw, it was always fair.
Yeah.
By the way, did you guys have problems with the fact that it's clear that Ryan and Mitch stripped this dead man here of his valuables?
Yes.
Right? They absolutely did. They're just
the
like,
fact
okay, here's
that
something
she,
here.
That their way of being all. Like, this guy is rich is just that he has a bunch of hundreds in his wallet. It's just so funny because it's like, he could have easily just taken all of his life savings and was like, after this, I'm going to the horse track, you know, like, you
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a turnaround trip. So this guy, they like barely understood time because like 24 hours is not enough time to go to Tokyo and fly back. Like the international dateline, the amount of time you're on the flight. Like, yeah, it's not even worth it.
That's, by the way, you just reminded me, it bothered me so much when everyone kept making a news headline out of, will Taylor Swift make it to the Super Bowl? And I was like, is no one doing the time difference? It was clear she was always going to make it the night before easily.
Right.
I was like, stop with this. This is nonsense. People thought she was going to show up like an hour maybe before the Super Bowl and be like, just barely made it, you know, but it was like, no, it's never going to be a problem.
They should have called you, Zach, as an expert for like flying from Japan
I'm
to
like,
the U.S.
She's leaving the night before in Japan, so they're a day ahead. So she's going to be flying. She's fine. She's going to get in the night before the Super Bowl here in the U.S. It's all fine. But yeah, there are so many articles about that endlessly. But thank you.
Yeah.
Guys.
And
time,
I'm like,
me, everyone,
with this one, Zach. with the dead body. We don't really need to know where he came from or anything. Like, you know, yeah. like, I guess that's supposed to be like people come from all over, but we were already told
idea,
that.
Yeah.
We were already told
that's
that.
True.
Yeah.
This is where people go, oh shit, this game is real. People
yeah. Really this is the part where he's like, well, is this guy real? And she's like, I'm not sure. And he's like, well, he's really dead.
Yeah.
How come this guy and the dad had on like almost like Tron like outfits.
Yeah, they laser, had, like, laser tag vests.
Laser tag vests. How come they had that on, but no one else had to wear it?
Right. Because like you can't just like stumble. Like apparently you can just stumble into this game. So like if anybody happened to make it into this building, they would be in the game. Yeah.
By the way, that just reminded me, it's something that did not matter, but daughter number two, as she's billed in the car, she's like, here's a key card. It'll get you into the warehouse, but not into the gate. And then I was like, okay, the gate must be important. But then there was nothing about a gate.
Right.
She said that. But yeah, I was like, what?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. What was that about? I guess maybe they had an idea for something. And they're like, nah, we're not.
Yeah, whatever. This is
also
where we,
the theme song is hilariously late into this.
It is.
Like,
isn't that amazing?
It's 13 minutes in.
It's so wild to do that. And then, and the credits
again.
Run for,
yeah, directed like by eight, is 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Credits run for about 8 minutes.
Yeah, we get our directed by 22 minutes.
But they're
again.
Just like, you watch for a long time and you just get like cinematography by so and so. It's just like, this
yes, I was losing my mind when a credit showed up 21 minutes in. I was like, what are, I was like,
wild,
I actually
right?
was going to ask you guys, like, is it like two episodes in one or something? Like,
No. No, that's been happening this season where we're getting the cold open is lasting like 10
you
minutes.
Just get that one little thing where it's like, Mitch walks out and then the episode starts. That opening sort of credits.
Oh, yeah, you get that.
It's like 5 seconds tops, just I guess. But
that was right at the very beginning, yeah.
And then like 10 or 15 minutes in, they're like opening credits time.
Yeah, and then it's like, this is where we find out you need to press Alt F4.
Yeah.
They get clapped into a play. The game master tries to egg them on. He says they aren't playing. And then they get clapped into a place with the lady with the crossbow. And
I was very confused on this. So I think there was miscommunication between whoever wrote the script and whoever was in charge of like costume design and whatnot. Because at first I'm like, okay, they're in a jungle. Okay, wait, it's like an Amazonian woman.
Right.
Okay, wait, it smells like a medieval area. Okay, what? I didn't know what they were going for. It was just like
she looked like almost. She was dressed almost like Xena warrior princess.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
which does not speak medieval.
No,
doesn't scream medieval to me.
It doesn't scream medieval. And like you know, like it's you know, in a game, I don't think I've ever thought of the archer as like the ultimate. Like
I don't play these games, but even I was like, what? That
the ultimate assassin.
The ultimate assassin.
It's like,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, the archers in Shogun are doing some work, so maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, archers are good, and they of course are valuable and have their place, but usually they're support. They're not, you know, they're not leading. Yeah. They're not the leader of the assassins.
Right. When the archer fires an arrow at them, they like duck behind a rock.
Yeah.
But they don't duck behind the rock at an angle that blocks the arrow. Like they duck sideways to the rock and are still exposed to the direction the arrow came from. It's great.
Yeah, because the assassin is not using standard assassination techniques. She's exposed out in the open, firing, blind firing. You know, it's
the ultimate assassin. Oh, to take from video games would be like the lead character from Assassin's Creed. Someone like that,
yes.
Kind of stealthy, kind of operating in the shadows and using all these methods to kill people. Not just someone that has a crossbow and is shooting arrows at you. That's not the ultimate assassin. And did you guys laugh that there? So Ryan was like, oh, she's using, I think it was called like a bolt arrow. That's standard for medieval crossbows. they didn't even bother to make this crossbow look like it was from those times. It was
no, it looks like one you'd buy at like Big Five Sporting Goods.
Yeah, exactly. And it had whatever the brand name was written twice on the front. Yeah. I was like, you could have covered that with something. Just made an effort. So just very funny.
She says, whenever you're under attack, the archer causes you to find a defensive weapon, and then they see a shield.
That's the most medieval thing, I think, in here, is that right. Shield. It does look like a medieval shield.
Yeah.
Shield. Yeah.
And then Ryan uses the light as a diversion, and Mitch gets
clever.
The shield.
I like that they're actually doing something using
I would
items,
think, yeah. though, I would be like, if I'm the archer, I'd be like, that light, I don't think that's super
you're
important.
Right.
Yeah.
Ultimate Assassin Archer.
Yeah. That seems like a distraction. So then Mitch is attacked by a guy wearing like kabuki makeup.
Well, there's two things here. One, once again, is just the video quality is too hard to decipher what is going on. First, there's someone that is just like cackling.
Right.
It's like, and I don't know what that character is or whatever. And they kind of tumble around and then they're gone. I was like, I don't know what that was. And then, like you said, the guy that comes out and has like swords and does not look like he's the medieval.
No.
At all.
There was that was very strange too, where a lot of the enemies were of Asian descent.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And very stereotypically.
Like a dragon thing. Like some writer, like at this time, was like, you know,
oh
like,
my
Enter
God,
the dragon
they were just
or whatever.
Like, they just thought
so they were
dragon.
Just like, oh, dragon, therefore.
Like, yeah.
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 Cuz like exactly. then you get the thing later on where the one
guy that
is
pops out the door
blind uses sonar.
The sonar.
The computer thing. We'll get to that, but I that was pretty funny.
I was like, "Oh my God, is this like absurd. A T-Rex where like if you don't move it can't?"
We're in the imagination of the computer using sonar technology.
Sonar technology where it's like, "Oh, he can't see me."
Yeah.
So if it, I it like bullfight him,
that's hilarious.
So but yeah, so then this guy gets shot by the archer. The archer kills this guy.
I guess she's not that good. By the way, I just remembered, I don't know, it's so funny to me, when Ryan was describing what the archer is, she said he is this, he is that, like so many times. Like,
yes,
she, so
she said he. She kept saying it was a he.
Yeah.
And she was
and I think with that the writers were hoping we'd be like, holy shit, it's...
Is that what it was?
It's like, a woman. A
woman with a crossbow?
Master assassin? Well,
the woman of my dreams.
Welcome to the 90s.
I wish they gave Ryan more, like, I wish she was the one solving the challenges more.
Yes.
Because she's like the game expert.
Even at the end, when Mitch is like, she's like, I know the game. You go
he's
out.
Like,
no, I'm a man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So then Mitch deflects the arrows with the shield, but then he comes over and says he made it. And she says he wins. And he says, what do I win? And she says, me. And Mitch goes like, okay. And then she tries to kill him, yeah.
So she starts pulling a knife out of her like back pocket. And Ryan warns Mitch, and she's like, Mitch, she has a knife. And did you guys notice? As she swings the knife and he kind of deflects with his arm, he kept kissing her.
He kept kissing her.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, Mitch. Wow.
Or if David Hasselhoff is like this actress is like, okay, yeah, the kissing part's over.
That's true. It quite possibly is that. But I can also see Mitch being like, there's no better way to go, right?
No better way to go. He's like, go ahead.
If the Ranger hadn't tried to stab him, would he have just fucked the Ranger in front of Ryan while Ryan watched?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
100%.
This Mitch would have.
Yeah. And then later he would have been like, "What? We're not like dating."
Baywatch Mitch would have had to first have Hobie meet her.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure, like, okay with her.
Look, Hobie needs a mother. Can you? Yeah. Will that interfere with your assassinating?
Your archery?
Yeah. They push him off a thing, and she falls, and she dies.
It wasn't that high of a platform either.
I thought she was going to be faking it and she would try to kill him again, but she's dead. And when they head down there, the master claps and says, everything that they did is within the rules. And then they say, In return, you can raise one skill level. And then this is when Ryan says,
decline.
The stakes, she declines, but also says the stakes are even higher because he respects us now.
She's pretty happy.
The computer respects us.
We have earned
the computer's respect by earning one skill point.
Mitch is like, I'm gonna take plus one to kissing.
Yeah, plus one to virility.
Yeah,
I just realized that would be devastating if AI, as it keeps advancing, if it just like made a habit of not respecting the human that's working with it. I feel like humans would be devastated by that. That's one of those things that like kind of is like,
because you know it'd be so abjectly a real reflection of it, just like whether or not you're worthy of respect. Yeah.
Well, I don't. I don't respect you, Michael. And you'd be like,
God, fuck. So then
this computer's respect.
They say Oh, go ahead.
Is this where Ryan said there's only one arrow left? And I was like, well, then go grab the other arrows.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, right?
Yeah.
There's one in a tree. There's one in that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever else there.
And they should be like finding them just as they go. Like you need.
That's true.
It should just be items. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We did need more items. They had some, but I would love
them. We get the very easily shrugged off zombies.
I did love these leg zombies, though. I mean, this was a cool concept.
It was a cool concept, but why weren't they more of a threat?
I would have liked that more. But I just liked it. I thought it was like a creative way of like introducing zombies. And then this idea of like a platform that disappears, but then having to take this leap of faith.
The leap of faith thing is just like taken straight up from Last Crusade, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's essentially the exact same thing. But what would have been fine, I would have been fine with that.
Just like this game, Charlie.
Yeah, it would have been. You're exactly right. What would have been better is if while they were doing that, they could see the lake zombies under them. And if at any point they lost faith, they would fall. So that even as they started to cross, because as soon as Mitch steps out and realizes he's good, he's just like, okay, that obstacle has been.
I'll tell you what we needed here. Okay, what we needed was that guy that they found. He should have still been alive, but kind of beat up and doubting they'll ever make it out alive. And then where he gets eaten by the zombies. And he gets torn apart by these zombies. I would have loved to.
Because that's the thing. It's like you need to see that like these things are a threat. Because like in all of these, we're told that like the enemies that they are going up against are the most evil, terrible, nastiest, like the most powerful. And Mitch easily beats all of them. Like
just because he's Mitch,
struggle. But I would love to see what they can actually do.
Yes, same.
Yeah.
By the way, I almost forgot, at the top of this scene, before they spot the first zombie, Mitch looks down at the lake and goes, and then he takes a sip and goes, tastes like
it's water.
Yeah, he tastes the lake. Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, and he's like, this water tastes like water.
It doesn't taste like computer. It tastes like computer because we're inside of a computer.
Yeah. Hey, you know about this stuff. What does computer taste like, Ryan? I would love if Mitch also just like kept being like, dude, that girl was really into me.
I feel like he would,
like,
right?
Trying to like call her.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer.
Like, why she have to die?
When she fell. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
Oh, God. She was really into me.
She was my prize.
By the way, I wrote down here either there's an invisible plank or Mitch is the Messiah.
Right?
Yeah.
Could he possibly walk on water in this game? Is he like some sort of Messiah?
Could be.
He thinks he is, I think.
So then they find the old crone.
I loved the old crone.
I wrote down looming witch.
Yeah, she has a loom. She says that they get, it says gold mail. So I thought that would be like chain mail, but it's not. What it ends up being is rope later on. Then when they are going to pay the old crone, they decide not to, and it turns out it's the game master.
It is laughing like wild. But they don't see that right when it's like they had walked away, I think, and then the game master reveals it to the audience that it's.
Did they not know? Did they not see it was the game master?
I could be wrong, but I think they had walked away already.
It ultimately doesn't matter. Yeah,
I'm not going to give this coin to you. It's a trap.
Yeah.
Right. But then that ends up not being a trap.
Not true, which is kind of funny. It turns out you were wrong. You should have done that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the batteries on the flashlight are almost gone, and then a pedestal says to deposit one coin, and then he says it's too obvious.
Yeah.
And then Ryan says, with the three doors, one way is sure death, another is an exit, sending them back to the beginning, so and the third could be anything. Yeah.
I guess you have to go for the third one.
You have to go
for
three.
Here's my question, yeah, though. She's just saying, I don't know why, but that's the three doors you will find.
One of the three.
It doesn't say that's
door number one.
It's always the order of those three.
So yeah, like, exactly.
We're going for door three then, for sure. But it turns out they're okay, I guess.
It would be insane if, like, all these games really followed all of these like genre pillars that Ryan keeps saying they all follow. Like,
right.
How many games are like this where you have this right. like door and like, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, and if you go through it, cause like if you die in the game, no big deal. But if you die in this game, you die in real life.
You do. Yeah.
So then, they go through door number three.
Quick question. If you die in this game, does your family, are they trying to decide if it's open casket or closed casket, considering it'd just be a computer, I guess?
And yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My friend's in that computer right there.
It's a CD. They put a little CD on the pillow.
Is this too graphic to show? Maybe it should be closed casket.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was going to ask this earlier about do innocent people die on screen in this show?
Yeah. I think
yeah.
So. Not,
okay. Okay.
More so
okay.
on this show than Baywatch regular, I guess, right?
Is okay. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. More so on this show. But yeah, innocent people do die.
Okay.
But they generally like it to be someone who kind of has it coming a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or that we won't be so sad about it. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like various ones. The Mobius that had like that old guy, but he was also like, oh, he's so old that he was going to, the professor.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe that's, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he just died of old age.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So then once they go through door number three, they find Debbie. Debbie, panicking Debbie. Yeah. She is so, like, as you would be, right? Like, as one would be if you really thought that this acid was going to happen, like, and, you know, let's just say it,
thought, yeah,
life isn't the movies, you know, and not everyone reacts to being dropped into a pit of acid the same way. And it's not always pretty, folks. And Debbie was first I was like, yeah,
guys, I'd be like, hey, if you guys can get me out of here, cool. Otherwise, I'll just be chilling here until with my arms crossed, trying to look.
You know what Zach would have done is when he was lowered in, he would have done the thumbs up like
thumbs
Terminator
up. Don't worry about
as he went down in. But Debbie takes it to a whole new level. I was like, I was going to say, like, she is acting the shit out of this role. And then it just never stops. Unfortunately, it was the law of diminishing returns of Debbie. Mitch is like going to find a way out for her.
He somehow has the gold coin. Will
the gold coin is the important thing, and so he goes back to the gold, the crone, and then the gold coin, the crone turns into a skeleton.
Yes,
a scary skeleton.
Yes,
golden skeleton. Yeah,
yeah, golden skeleton. And so he takes the rope.
There's a knife there. He grabs too.
And then he throws the rope to her, and she's like, it's not going to work.
And this is what I was like, okay,
was like,
Debbie,
okay,
come on now.
Calm down. I'm going to die just like my dad.
Yeah. This is the moment where I was like.
She kept saying the shit about her dad, and I was like, she is a computer. She's a computer program. Sure. I was like, yeah. I was like, something about this girl is a computer. And it turns out, nope, she just was annoying.
This is when the actress who played Debbie got the call that she got this role.
Yes.
She sobbed with joy.
Yes.
Like, this was an enormous moment for her to get this.
And
part.
She was like one of those who, like, after the takes, they'd be like, man, great job. And she'd be like, thanks, guys. Yeah. It just, like, I don't know. I just feel like she'd be really scared, right?
She would keep talking about it.
She would. She'd be like,
she'd just be talking about her character. And, like, you know,
later she's like at dinner with her friends and was like, it just, like, something came over me. And I felt in that moment, I was like legit scared.
I was scared, yeah. And I thought my dad was dead at that moment.
Yeah.
The character that I was playing, I was certain my dad was dead.
She's asking
certain
the director like for notes on like, yeah, which is like not even like a major part of the scene.
Yeah.
Am I swinging believably from when I'm tied up? Like, does it look real?
Could I get one more?
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Keep asking for another take. I know that was really good, but I just I think I can really nail it.
Yeah, I feel like I really get it this time.
By the way, when he swings in on this rope, once again, stole from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And then he carries her down the stairs, and then Ryan says, it's a CD-ROM and a virtual reality all combined to the nth degree.
Oh, is that what I couldn't make out? To the nth degree.
To the nth degree, yeah.
Wow.
I was like, sure. Yeah, okay.
Also, they're so nonchalant when they rescue her. They're just immediately like all business. They're like,
yes,
Brian, this is Mitch.
And I wrote, she is a total mess because she keeps going like, oh my God, we're going to die.
She's like that character, I think, in the Amoeba episode.
You're absolutely right. That like woman who just wouldn't stop screaming. Yeah.
Yeah. But that woman wasn't weirdly fumbling with the buttons on her shirt for an entire
season. Yeah, this is when she takes her shirt off.
I was like, what is going on with this?
Yeah. Yeah. Very and I also thought that she was going to reveal like an armor of some sort, and then that was going to help them in the game. I was like, there has to be a reason she's taking her shirt off. But no.
The Game Master would have been underneath the shirt. That would have been a fun reveal.
That would have been fun if he's the Game Master is her boobs.
Absolutely.
I would have liked that too, because like give the Game Master some pervert joy and the like weird like world he's building, you know, like
because the Game Master is just game mastering, you know, like he's not evil, like there's no, you know, I don't
guys he was give him something fair. To game master into, right?
Yeah exactly.
Sorry.
So Mitch is attacked by the glowing green eye guy.
Oh yes, this gladiator type guy.
Yes.
One of those gladiator nets. Which funny enough, I was like, did people actually do this? For part of the good portion of the fight, he's just kind of like whipping Mitch with this net, which I've never seen before. Is that a thing?
I guess you're trying to like get
instead
him caught
of just
up in it.
On top of him, but he's like he's actually like hitting him with it.
Yeah.
Like, haha, just keeps hitting him.
I would say, you know, all's fair and
in gladiator.
Fighting. Yeah.
They really cannot lock in on a time period for this game either. Like, we got like the archer, and then we have like Vat of Acid, and like we're really mixing genres.
A very clumsy Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
The guy with the claws. The horror.
Oh my God, I loved him. Oh my God. I loved Claws guy.
He was doing this the whole time.
Yeah,
he was just like, he looked like he was trying to ask how he's supposed to use his weapons, and they were like, I don't know, just wave him around, man.
And Mitch is just like, I guess I'll just throw this orb at your chest. Okay, so then Mitch decapitates this man
with the trident.
Stabs
him in the throat, and his head comes off.
And then his eyes stay aglow, and now they have a new light. He's like, and a headlight.
Like a
he says, we have headlights now.
Actually, which is a pretty good pun.
Pretty good. Mitch can't deliver a joke because it should have been like, he should have leaned into how corny it was and be like, we got headlights now or something. Instead of being like, we got headlights now. Yeah.
Said it with an Austrian accent like Arnold.
Yes, we got the headlights.
Headlights now.
Yeah.
Then we would have known it was funny.
Also, it makes lightsaber noises. Did you notice that? It went, wow.
Lights from the header is making interesting. I love the fact that he decapitates it and he's carrying it around like it's Medusa,
right?
And as like, well, not a weapon, but he's using it for their benefit basically. I love it's just, I mean, it's a green, two green flashlights or whatever, but it's a cool visual, like these,
right?
It's almost like laser beams coming out of this head's eyes. Yeah,
so then they encounter the Game Master, who tells them that if they pay the toll, you're free to go, which is one gold coin for each person. We never have established that the other two have gold coins.
Which other two? Sorry.
Ryan and
Ryan's just
and
part
Debbie.
Of Mitch's team. So this is where I was like, Debbie's not pulling her weight.
Did each of them get a... But I thought they only got one gold coin.
They got 3 gold coins when they did that first task. And then Mitch used the one to save Debbie, so they still had 2 gold coins.
So
now
I have 2.
And I was like, what was Debbie doing that she never got any gold coins?
Yeah, Debbie never earned a single coin.
Not one.
Maybe when they were taking skill ups, they could have taken earned double coins or something, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, that's part of it too, is the fact that like it seems like they didn't do anything special to already be at the end. But then Mitch goes back and there's like a whole part of the game that they didn't have to go through yet.
That's true.
So like that's weird, right? Like
it's also I'm now kind of remembering, I'm like, it is so cool that he got that head that has the flashlight, but
yeah, he doesn't use it. Yeah.
Yeah. He should have had that earlier in the game, probably.
So then a line of fire appears. Mitch pushes Ryan and Debbie over the he doesn't have to push Debbie. Debbie jumps.
Right away. She's like, yeah, well, she's I'm like, getting one of these gold coins.
She's out. Yeah.
Debbie's not a great person.
She doesn't care.
It's just tough.
And what does she say when Mitch is left behind? She says, he's going to die just like my father.
She does. Which is very funny. She'd be rough. In a time of crisis, she'd be a rough person to have around.
Yeah.
She just, oh no, we lost Debbie somewhere.
Yeah.
We got to keep moving.
And that sucks. Debbie.
Oh no, Debbie.
No, Debbie. So then Ryan tells him that he has to go forward, he has to go back, and then the game master reveals a timer.
Yeah,
and gives the timer to Mitch. Yeah. Feels like Mitch could have just turned that right back over.
I actually had that thought later. I was like, can you just trick this computer and just keep turning it back whenever he needs to?
And then he says, there's always a chance or there's not a game. And so then the idea is finding the lever which freezes the game.
Yes.
So then Debbie says it has to be in the room with the 3 doors.
No reason why. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ryan immediately wouldn't Ryan be like, don't listen to Debbie. It's somewhere else. But instead she's like, yeah, that's right. It's in the room with the 3 doors. 100%. It's always in the room with the 3 doors. That's how games work.
Yes. Is that your guys' experience with games that are somewhat similar to this?
If there's a room with 3 doors, there's a lever, and that freezes the game. And right, freezing always. A game, you always that's want a game want. To freeze. Everyone a good thing is when a game
that's
freezes.
How you beat it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, great. Everyone, gross. We love when games freeze.
Oh, great. It didn't save all my data. Great.
Yes.
That's
great. I have to, I have to quit, and it says it quit unexpectedly. Do I want to send an error report to Microsoft?
Oh, I would love to do that. That makes me feel
better.
I
love this. I win. So then Mitch gets attacked by this guy.
He's got blades of some sort.
He
has
blades. He sticks them. They're like size, right?
They're kind of like size. Kind of.
They're like,
they're like the other way too.
There's a name for that. They're like dirks, kind of, but yeah.
Yeah. There's a blade going past the hand on each, like,
oh yeah,
like where the hilt is, basically there's a blade going that way too.
Okay. And, oh yeah, yeah, okay.
So I don't know what they're called.
He sticks it in the wall and then freezes there for a while.
He just sits there for a while. Yeah
And then Mitch immediately deduces that this guy uses sonar.
He's kind of like the T-Rex.
Yes.
Like motion is what he responds to.
Motion and sound, I guess,
but
right?
But it is funny. This is just a computer's imagination.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be the most powerful thing?
Why would it be connected to sonar either?
Right.
You don't... Yeah.
And so then Mitch teases it a bit, and then he takes off his thing and then uses it like a bullfighter.
Yeah. And then tosses it down and chases...
And the guy chases it, like and then that is all it takes. I would think he would turn around and then be like, oh, didn't get him, go the other way. But that nope, that wins. And
I will say, when he's using this was the flashlight, right? And he's kind of moving that, and then the guy stabs at it.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
It's like so silly. It's like, sure, yeah, okay.
Then he gets an orb.
Oh, love the glowing orb.
Oh, my God, the glowing orb.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with him having this for most of the episode.
Yeah. I would have loved for him to be trying to use the orb to solve all the other problems and it, like, never works.
Yeah.
But then we enter the best character in the entire episode, which is the claw guy.
I'm not sure what he's supposed to be.
Yeah, he's like a mutant, and he's got like Wolverine claws or Freddy Krueger claws, but he's not using them in a threatening way.
He's waiting for Mitch to make the first move.
He's waiting for Mitch to make a move. Yeah, but there's not anything threatening in his stance. It almost feels like a very self-conscious stance. Like he's not quite sure.
No, yeah.
What's going to happen? And Mitch swings at him, but then Mitch is like, okay, so swinging the orb at him didn't do anything.
Okay. Have you guys ever watched water polo before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So were you like fake?
Yes. Yeah, so Mitch throws a few and they keep regenerating and the guy just keeps ducking. I mean, he should just throw lower, right? And it'll hit him. But
yeah. Anyways.
But then, yes, he uses basically water polo methods, which they use all the time, where they keep faking, and then you don't know when the real one's going to come, basically.
And then he hits him in the chest, and that kills him.
And that kills him.
And then
wouldn't you be like, can I take these orbs with me when I leave the game? I would be like,
Yeah.
Claw Guy is also wearing, like, an Eastern European grandmother's, like, knit cap.
Yeah. It was like that, or like a gimp mask. Yeah.
This was like what they had left over to make a character out of.
They didn't work hard on this one. No. So then Mitch finally realizes that the timer itself needs to be put on the pedestal.
Yeah.
And that is
that's what happened.
And we're calling that a lever. A lever is something you pull.
Well, he does kind of pull it, I think, right? Does he not? Or no? Maybe
does he?
Maybe I imagine.
I thought it's kind of like the Raiders of the Lost Ark where you set it.
Okay. I might have imagined that. But I assumed he was going to do that.
Yeah, he does it, freezes the game. And then the dad is thrown out of the game, revealed for the first time in the episode.
Now,
and then
so the dad, like we can't clearly see him, but to me, he looked like he was maybe 10 years older than the two daughters.
Yes, he did not look much older.
Like, young dad, what is this?
He stays young from all his active games.
Probably does, actually.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
Or maybe it's like, no, because in Jumanji, he does get older, but it's like, no, because...
Yeah, but I would love some dialogue from this dad.
But he's only been in the game for like a couple more hours than the others, right?
True.
Yeah.
I wonder what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah.
Who did he?
Maybe he had already had sex with Archer.
That's kind of like all he did while he was here.
And then he was just like kind of refractory period the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
he's ashamed of himself. Then, he's like, hey,
it was a roller coaster of emotions.
Your mom is going to ask him questions. And I was with you guys all night. It was pretty. You know, I didn't really like the game all that much. Yeah, you could just kind of be there for that.
Like orbs and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, everything all the women were ugly.
Here's the one thing I want both of you girls to remember is that a computer's imagination is not cheating.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The computer made me do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was caught in the game master's fucked up world.
Yeah.
Very fucked up. I had to do whatever I could to survive.
And he's like, fist to the sky, game master!
I had to eat out the archer from the back because otherwise I'd never escape the game.
Yeah.
I didn't want to eat her ass. I'm so conflicted.
I thought eating her ass was the lever.
Yeah. He said I had everything I needed. I just played a game in Toronto, and you had to eat an ass to escape.
They changed the games, though. I didn't know.
Girls, you know I love the most dangerous and extreme games. So then Mitch and Ryan come out. At first,
also,
I was like, where's Debbie?
The dad has been arrested for 10 minutes immediately, eating more moldy bread. You know, like you just can't, you can't stop him.
So Debbie comes from the other side, though, which is weird to me.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah,
it was very weird. And then this is when she hugs him like she's in love with him.
Yeah, you think she grabs his hair? She like grabs.
Yes,
I can't imagine grabbing a fistful of my dad's hair.
Yeah,
if he were to survive.
Like,
that's tough.
Right before
I was jealous of that archer.
You think right before they shot this scene, just last minute, she told like the assistant director, I'm going to come from the other side, actually.
Do you think Debbie, like, in this kind of world, like, she's so scattered, wouldn't she come from, like, the closer side? Like, do you think she took, like, the shortest path?
And I'm, like, this is, grips, yeah, like, I'm, okay. I've just been in commune with Debbie a lot lately, and I feel like I've become her in a way, and she's speaking to me and telling me to come from the other side. And then, like, I think there's some like incest stuff going on with her and her dad.
I think trust me on this one.
Yeah.
I think this is her character.
It seems weird, but to her, it's not weird because this is a world where computers have imaginations. So like anything is possible.
I will say this too. People saw Mitch and the Archer. They're going to want to see that again.
Yeah. Yes.
They want to see that in some form. So I will give that to them.
So then they go into the hall, yeah, and of course,
this is
the
like
game
next
is gone.
Day, I guess, right?
Yeah,
the idea, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, the game is gone, just like the club with all the hot models in Seinfeld. That's the meatpacking plant.
Yes, I have a question. So they're like, it must have moved on to another city. What do you think the next place was? Was it like Anaheim? Was it Riverside?
Yeah, they're hitting all local, the C tier, SoCal.
You got it, right? You
Ojai, go, Joshua yes. Tree.
Yeah, because it'd be foolish for them to be like, we're going to Milwaukee next.
The flyover states. Yeah. Florida,
yeah. You want to kind of be in a similar region, so
right.
Yeah, they're probably
because I think that if you go to a place that isn't used to getting these big gets, like a game like this, you'd have more interest because like people would be like, "Oh my god, this thing's coming to our city. Yeah. We never get that stuff." Wow. Yeah, Moreno Valley. So then the game is gone, and the way that they know that the game is gone is the symbols on the floor are gone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sure. And then they said that this moves from city to city. This game isn't going to go away. More and more people are going to want to play. And then Mitch says, "How say you?" And she says, "Let's just go home."
Yeah.
And it's like, we tried and we're not going to stop this game.
That is true. They're not going to alert the authorities or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fucked up game.
I love that the master doesn't get caught. He roams free.
The game master.
Do we think the master is just a computer?
That's what Ryan said at some point, but I'm like, it makes almost more sense if that's the human, right?
You would need a developer
behind the game.
Well, because otherwise, like the whole thing is just a computer. Like, who's the person who's doing this?
Well, this villain, is right? Yeah. Baywatch Nights is quite supernatural, so okay. I believe that they would just be like, but computers in and of itself, like virtual reality, needs. It is a computer created by a person, right?
When they hire us to like to bring back Baywatch Days and Nights and redo every episode, I think like our initial take on like make him like have more fun fucking with these people would have given it a little more of like
have you seen that
villain you hate.
That Black Mirror with Jesse Plemons where he's like got them all trapped in that like Star Trek
world.
Like it's like that where he's trapped all these people in it and he's like, you know, doing all this sadistic terrible stuff to them. That would be interesting if you got this guy who's like trapping all these people in the computer. Right.
There's actually a Futurama episode that involves Star Trek too that is similar-ish
where
they get all the actual Star Trek characters.
Oh wow.
Whatever. And some alien like keeps them on a planet for its own joy to watch. Ah,
yes, very similar.
So that was season 2, episode 14, Knights to Dragon 1.
Now we have some awards to
give out, like we do every episode. The first is our Hofsker of the episode. Who's our best actor?
Wow.
So. Right at her introduction, I might have gone with Debbie, but then she fell quite precipitously. But at first, I was like, she is selling the shit out of this panic.
Yeah.
This is crazy, but I think I would give it to Mitch.
Okay.
Like all the other minor characters are, or maybe the game master. The game master.
Game master was pretty good.
Like I did want loser more of the game pervert. Master,
yeah, I wanted a little more, but he was very believable as a game master. He's a very interesting looking actor.
Maybe it's just how he looks that I want to give him the award.
That guy was a character actor that worked a lot.
He looked familiar.
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
And he's good actor. God, I don't know who I want to go with. All the little side characters are kind of fun, but they're kind of smaller parts, like the archer, the guy that gets distracted by the light.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then Ryan and Mitch are I I did enjoy them both in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan's so, like, Ryan's a little, like, flat. Like, I guess, like, because Ryan spends so much time just explaining stuff in this episode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And all of our explanations are insane. So it's tough for me to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Mitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know who you're going with, Charlie?
I think I'm going to go with the Game Master.
Okay. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Do we come to a consensus, or do I just say...
No.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to give it to the Claude guy.
Claude?
Hell yeah.
Kept that motion going and dodged orbs that were coming at him.
Believable dodge, for sure.
Sorry, quick side note before we go to the next award. I had this thought, like, because, like, this game is going to keep going. They didn't stop it. But is there a situation, a Terminator-like situation in the future where someone gets sent back to kill the Chosen One that stops this game? Maybe it's Mitch or something like that.
Mm.
This is...
Like, how does the game stop?
Like, how do you actually stop?
How do you kill the game?
Exactly, I don't know.
I would love for this to be a three-part arc.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, randomly later in the show, like, this game comes back and, like... We're once again caught in the master's web.
Yeah.
A three-body problem, if you will.
Yeah.
I know it won't come back, unfortunately, but yeah, I totally would love to see more of this. But anyways.
Because I have a lot of questions about the game and its origins and how it is stopped. Because, like, there is no computer.
Like an actual computer, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, they go down an elevator and they're in a computer.
Now it is very similar as we were talking the other day on Pete Rain's podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. And we talked about Nick Arcade and you know, Nick Arcade, you do step into a room and then you are in the video game, you've ever watched that show, but you are seeing a digitized representation of the game world while you're in it. This was a computer would have been nice, like a wires or something, that if somebody would have just yanked some wires out at the last second, like if Teague had showed up and done it or something.
I think the reason I had the Terminator thought, and there's other, you know, sci-fi like analogies, but like, It feels like this computer is almost on its own now, and it's kind of like malicious in a way.
Sentient.
It is sentient and whatever. It just feels like it's going to continue. Maybe it'll expand and do more games where it's oddly not
malicious in a way, which is like, yes.
I mean, can you say
if you die, you die in real life. But that's the most malicious part. But otherwise, like, it seems to be very fair. Like what should have happened to make this a satisfying thing, is like you get to the end and you play by all the rules and you get to the point that you should win. And then the computer says you don't win because nobody who ever joins this game, like, ever leaves or anything. And then you realize the computer is evil and we must stop the computer. But in this, it's more just like Mitch, who knows nothing about games,
beats this game.
Of course. He sails his way through it.
Yeah.
I just realized if Mitch was the protagonist in Ex Machina, that movie would have been like 15 minutes long.
Yes!
He would have been like, I want to fuck that robot so bad. He would have been trapped 15 minutes in.
Yeah, 15 minutes in.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's lucky Ryan was there. He would have been trapped in that game by the archer.
Yeah. Because rather than just like...
She's like stabbing him. He's not even noticing. He's like,
yeah. Still realize that he's in a situation where he needs knowledge... He instead just goes like, this corny game shit, that where's the I thought this would be football or basketball. Yeah,
where's the yard markers?
Yeah.
The shoulder pads.
Okay, our Jilzy, which is our worst actor of the episode. Debbie.
Debbie. I gotta go
Debbie.
Sorry, Debbie.
You had it. Debbie.
And Debbie, I know you're listening, and I am sorry. Because I know how important this role was to you and your career. And so, you know, we hate to do it, but we just have to.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Debbie.
Sorry, Debbie, but there's that other side of the coin. I mentioned this earlier when she jumps into his arms and says, Dad, Daddy!
Daddy!
I laughed so hard, and I was like, you know, so part of me loved the performance.
Yeah.
It is, oh, yeah. It was memorable, for sure. I'll say that. It wasn't
Debbie
just like a,
oh, yeah, is when, still working. Cool. Yeah, she was in one episode of the TV show The Neighborhood in 2022.
Okay.
She, at first I was like, she's in Malignant, but she is in a movie called Malignant from 2013. So, a different,
oh, okay.
Yeah, a different Malignant. She was in like, she's like, it seems like she's like a one episode type person where she shows up, okay, and stuff. But the one thing that I will say is that I am going to send you guys.
Okay. We're going to get,
like,
something in the chat.
You're going to get something in the chat because I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind when you see Debbie's IMDb.
Before you even send that, JB Day. JB.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
You're absolutely,
no, JBR.
Right. JBR.
I'm totally fucking,
yes,
up the
initiation. You're 100% right.
But yes, I thought Max. The same thing.
I have no idea.
JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie,
okay,
when
I
saw that,
it.
I was,
yeah,
like, JonBenet Ramsey.
Is that JonBenet? Yeah.
And I, wow, assumed it was a kid, but it's an adult. And
yeah.
Yeah. Strange. Wild. I don't know what that role is. I have no idea. But
okay,
she looks kind of like Julianne Moore a little bit.
Yeah. So, James Liu, who is just credited as Asian Gang.
That's so inaccurate.
I know.
Gang.
Like, there's
sure.
no
That's
gang in here.
What
yeah.
About?
What are we talking
well,
about?
It is funny. So, I, the other main actress in this, besides, of course,
Paige Rowland,
is daughter number two.
Yeah.
Which is so strange to me.
Which
to
is like, she's the whole inciting incident.
And they also say a name, like, I think it was like Mary Ellen Allen or something like that. So why did they credit her as daughter number two?
So weird.
Dad doesn't get a credit. There's no credit for dad.
Yeah, dad doesn't get a credit.
I actually, you know, it's funny because when I was looking at IMDb initially, I was like, oh, I guess dad is dead. And that's what I was thinking the whole episode because he didn't have a credit. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, it looks like Dana Dowry, who played Debbie, is going to be back for season 7, episode 13 of Baywatch.
Wow.
Okay, wow. Cool.
But her character is named Diana, not Debbie.
Ooh, another D name.
Yeah, another D name.
That is amazing, though, that we both.
Yes.
That was the same. It's like,
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so best baddie. I'm going to use my best baddie to say Claw Guy.
Okay.
He's my favorite.
I'll give it to the master. He felt like a real,
yeah,
yeah, incel type.
I did like the gladiator with his green glowing eyes, but I'm also gonna go with the game master. He, by the way, when he did that fire line, it shot out of his finger. That was pretty cool.
That
oh,
was
yeah.
cool. I like when the master like catches the crossbow bolt.
Yeah,
that was too. Yeah,
that and was cool. he's not pretty phased badass. By it. I like that. That
yeah.
was what was badass. Was oh. rather than being like, now you're in trouble. He's like,
yeah.
you gotta.
Whatever.
He's like, you gotta pick. Like, I need two coins.
Two
Come on.
Coins.
Also, let's not forget he got into character, a completely different character, and sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crone.
The crone. Yeah. Like, I thought that was someone else.
And then. What if, oh my God, you know, it'd be great is if the archer, he's like, cause they're both computers, right? So he's yeah. like, he's like, I see you've met my wife. And he's like, he's like into cuck stuff. He's
yeah.
I was game for it. The game master was game.
The prize
Mitch
is
like,
wife.
I've been trying to cuck Ryan for this entire episode. Yeah. So
that's what the whole game is about, is the game master being able to cuck himself. He just wants to set up scenarios where people.
I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and a woman was explaining to her co-host,
yeah.
who I believe is her husband, what cuckolding is.
Okay.
And he was so shocked. Like,
awesome.
this concept was so unfamiliar. And he was like, they want their spouse to cheat. And he's like, well, not always, but sometimes it is part of their, and he's like, and they like it? This is what?
When this guy goes
so,
home,
yes,
yeah.
Max, he Googles,
yeah.
Zach.
Man and woman in love.
Man and woman in love.
Oh, sure. Actually, that's probably true. Actually,
yeah.
The way you just said it, though, it almost felt to me like he just now learned what this is and is like
terrified.
Very interesting.
Or no, he's interested. Yeah. He's or like, he's like, honey, oh, I'm not being. Am I being cucked?
Yeah. Can I be cucked?
He goes home. He like, talks about like it's a new like fad. Like, honey, yeah. You hear about this cuck?
Yeah, hear about this. Around? Yeah, it's like butt chugging.
Yeah.
He's like, kids are cuckolding these days.
The new new trend sweeping through high school is cucking.
The idea of a parent coming home and being like, honey, I'm worried about cucking.
I saw it on the news.
I think we should have a talk with our child.
Is your child cuckolding? What you may need to know about this trend that's sweeping through schools.
Sweeping the nation.
Yeah.
TikTok trend.
Okay, so finally we rate the episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs. This one was a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. I can go first.
Go for it.
I think I'm going to give it a 6. I might.
Wow.
The other one I gave a 6 earlier this season, I might like a little bit better, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not going to punish this for that. I could go 5.5, but I really enjoyed it. And I think, Max, sometimes like with the budget limits, you get like, you're expecting like, oh, this is going to be something. And then it's like, disappoints greatly.
Yeah.
Like
apocalyptic. Wasteland and
it was in this exact same warehouse because this is their warehouse where they shoot everything. So like
it's just
all the same backdrops. They just like put a couple more lights or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think they did a good job with this one.
They did.
Considering what they had, I was like, this was enjoyable.
And something was always happening. Always like the fact that like we never open mise en scène with like on the way to the thing. It's usually
the opening was fantastic.
Yeah.
Just immediately like we're just on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what, Zach? I'm also gonna give it a 6.
Hell yeah. Love it.
I'll give it a 6 too. Number of the beast, baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number of the game.
Number of the game. You rolled 666.
Yeah, this was a very fun episode. It is
you
so
guys
funny.
Version of the Doughboys Platinum Plate Club is the Satan Club for somebody that gets all 6s.
Oh nice. Oh yeah,
the five forks platinum plate.
Well, when the two hosts and the guest give something five forks, that's called the Platinum Plate Club. So whatever your version of that is, and I was just suggesting maybe it's the Hail Satan Club because we all gave it 3 6s.
Hail Satan,
you know?
Yes.
What's so funny is if you read the like YouTube comments on all of these videos, it'll always be like, this sucks, go back to the beach, what's up with all these ghosts and stuff. they're just like always like the IMDb review on here is this episode is rock bottom. It's way below rock bottom. Imbecilic to the core. Every second from cold open to final credits. They made some dumb TV before, but this concept, execution, faceplant is really the pinnacle of bad Baywatch Nights. Ridiculous, stupid, and nauseating all in one. Kudos.
I should check. I feel like it's the same person writing every IMDb review, which is hilarious if it is. Or maybe it's
but sometimes they're like, hot girl, da da da. Like they'll put in some jokes, but this one seems like an honest to goodness, like just like scathing review.
But I feel like you're right. It's usually bad. If you check the YouTube comments on this one, though, people like this episode.
Oh, they did.
Okay. Yeah. They really did.
Good.
By the way, going off of your suggestion, Max, which I love, I'm gonna counter suggest. What if it's if everyone gives it's 3 6s? It's the number of the Mitch.
The number of the Mitch.
Wow, the number of the Mitch. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well,
the Devil Hoff.
The Devil Hoff, a.k.a. the number of the Mitch, a.k.a. the Hail Satan Club.
The
premier Baywatch Watch podcast. Top award.
Buchanal.
Buchanal, yes.
Yes.
It's a Buchanal.
Sorry. Wow. Well, you know what? This was a lot of fun. What a great episode. Yes. A triple sixer. A number of the Mitch.
What a great guest as well.
And a great guest. Thanks so much for being here.
Anytime.
Yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Check out my TikTok. It's at Max Lasser. It's having a run this week.
You doing numbers?
A little bit. Check that out.
All right. Out. Yeah. Everybody get in there.
Yeah. Get on that. Yeah. Check it out.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, Max, aren't you supposed to promote something else too?
Yes. Thank you, Zach. And also, the Mock Improv Los Angeles Festival is on April 27th. It is a 12-hour festival. We have some incredible performers, including Zach and Charlie. So come out. It's going to be super, super fun. We're really excited. It'll be a hilarious and fun improv and stand-up and sketch comedy festival with some like real like returning greats and some very fun like up-and-coming fresh faces. Absolutely. So,
and how much does it cost?
12 to 12, Saturday, 4/27, and it's totally free.
Whoa!
Totally free. What?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, yes. Go check it out.
Come check it out if you're in the area. Or fly out for it.
Fly Tokyo. Out. Fly,
fly
in.
Out. Yeah,
Tokyo,
buy those tickets.
24-hour round trip.
Yeah.
Ticket.
Yeah.
And if you die in the festival, you die in real life.
Don't die at the festival. Get back to Tokyo.
You're an avid Baywatch watch listener. You live in Oklahoma. You're planning a trip to Japan. Yeah. On your way back, just stop in on Los Angeles. Go to the festival. Stay a day or two.
What do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose?
That your life.
That's a fun layover.
Okay. Well, check out Mock Improv Los Angeles Festival on April 27th. And we thank you again, Max, for being
Max,
here.
Thank you again.
You guys.
So much fun. And then we will be back next week with an all new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. And until then, stay wet at night.
When the waves are crashing.
Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.